Francophone, as in, what is Francophone even?
That's a good question. What is Francophone?
Are we talking about the literal, like, textbook definition?
Yes, whatever Francophone means.
How do you define it?
I've noticed a lot on the continent is, like, once you place something, someone who does really good, you place them somewhere, but then I feel like we never come in and, like, reevaluate that, you know, this person isn't doing so well. Mm. Let's demote them and put someone else, right? Mm. I feel like once you get put in position,
that's it.
It's it. Secured.
You're eating good.
There's no checks and balances.
At all.
People think that Africans can be European, you know? So black French people, like, I don't know, black British people. What do you guys think?
Welcome back, my people.
What's up, back?
Tribes people. Akwaaba. How'd you say it in Cameroon? Like,
you just say, like, bonjour.
Bienvenue. Like,
bienvenue.
No, like, local one?
No, there's no local, because there's so many languages in Cameroon. So, the, you know, the language.
What's yours? Oh, you don't know?
I guess in Bassa, to say hello, it's like mega.
Mega.
And then in my mom's tribe language, I actually can't remember. Yeah, it's bad.
Well, mega, my people, welcome back to TJMTM, the Jovem Mix MD podcast. I'm your boy, DJ Anzo, here with my boy.
Man like Anzo, General Anzo.
Uncle E in a place to be. Come Young on. Money Millionaire, stop playing with us.
Come on.
And today we're joined by the lovely
Eva. Hey guys.
Eva's back.
Coming from the land, small Africa, right?
Africa in a miniature.
Country on the continent.
Let's relax.
The best country in the continent.
The best country on the continent. Come on.
She's starting off hot.
Look, they gave us a good AFCON memes. That's about it.
Wow. Listen.
Yo,
guys have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, Cameron.
First of all, it's not my fault that my people look a bit older than they actually are, you know? Mm. Like, it's not my fault. We eat good, you know?
Mm.
Things are going well.
That's why you look older.
I hate to say it, but you guys have been taking some L's lately.
Come on, G.
One of their big giants.
It's not been good.
Fell to the canvas recently.
It's not so good. But we'll come back. We'll make a comeback, guys.
Should I say the name?
Don't say names. Like, don't say it, please. Mm-mm.
But it's okay.
It happens. Man, the fact that Niger man just...
Fall 7 times, you get up 8, you'll be all right. Am I right?
It's okay. I just didn't like that. Well, I mean, Anthony Joshua, you know, he's a British UK guy, you know, Nigerian.
Yeah.
Niger's trying to claim him as their victory against Cameroon. Yeah. Which I guess it is somewhat valid. I would do it if it was. But
I think styles make fights, and that wasn't the fight for
Francis. Like, this guy's a heavyweight champion. Like,
he exposed medalist. Tyson Fury, but like,
Tyson didn't take him seriously. I think that's my conclusion from this.
You think so?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, but hey, Ngannou got his back. We'll give him that.
But yeah, some shout outs before we jump into today's topic.
Yes,
Kobe Maino.
Yes. Shout out to Young Kobe.
We won't say too much because we're not trying to, you know.
But
some lowlights. Diddy, what's going on, man? What's going on, man?
It's just terrible. This is, I don't even know where to begin with it. But we'll see. It will all unfold. The year of the truth or the reckoning, per what Cat Williams said.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. But
the people of Baltimore praying for you.
Yes.
That was unfortunate. I think it's very telling how some of these Twitter conservatives are reacting, though.
Of course.
After seeing the black or the DEI mayor.
Yes.
So they say we're DEIs in Paris. We're DEIs in...
It's wild. You're surprised, but not surprised.
Yeah. Speaking of DEIs in Paris.
Yes.
Today we're going to talk about Francophones.
Okay.
What do you say?
Mandem speaks Francophone? Francais, you know?
Oui, oui, baguette.
Dis-moi.
The Francophone.
There's been...
Francophone as in, what is Francophone even?
That's a good question. What is Francophone?
Are we talking about the literal, like, textbook definition?
Yes, whatever Francophone means.
How do you define it?
Francophone means like speaking the French language. So the Francophone people on the African continent are like generally African countries where people speak French.
Right. We know that part, but like, I think we want to dissect that a little bit more, right? Because French obviously is the colonial masters of a lot of West Africa, and a bit of Central, not too much.
Yes, primarily Central and West Africa. Yeah.
A little bit north, but not that much.
And north. They do north.
We could consider Morocco, Algeria. Tunisia, Algeria, and stops there, yeah?
Yeah.
Mauritania, if you will.
Some Mauritanians do speak French, yeah. So
some of them do, yeah.
So that probably might... We'll have to look into that. We'll have to look that one up.
But. Okay. But Francophone, a lot of activity has been happening in that region.
Yes.
Of Africa over the past, I'd call it, 5 years?
Yes, we've seen, it's just been going since France decided to have an unhealthy relationship with the continent.
Yeah, but it feels like especially now there's been a lot of activity.
From a revolution standpoint and a resistance standpoint, in a new way, I feel like that has definitely been at high activity lately.
Starting with Burkina Faso, right?
Burkina Faso.
You guys heard about that?
Yes.
It's weirdly like nostalgic.
Why is it nostalgic?
Because it's like earlier we were talking about the military man coming back,
the age of the coup d'etats.
Yeah. Wait. And it's like we know of Burkina's history with Thomas Sankara, right? Mm-hmm. Now we have Ibrahim. What's his name?
Is it Conte?
Yeah, we'll call him. Sorry, Ibrahim Mando. he's young. He's like, 36?
He's 36. So to even just put it into perspective, I had a list here of, in West Africa, specifically around Francophone, French-colonized African countries that in recent years has been overthrown, the incumbent old man who was just working for France, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Burkina Faso, Ibrahim Traoré.
Traoré.
36 years old and is currently, I guess, leading the nation, a military man. We have Chad, Mohamed Deby. I don't know if he's a military man, but he's 39 years old.
Mm.
We have Mali, who also has a 41-year-old president, Assimi Goïta. And then man like Guinea, President Mamadi Doumbouya, Mr. Okay. No Nonsense Man. So
we gotta put up an image actually, of him.
So all of them, the ones I mentioned, are all took over power. They're young presidents, but they are junta or military men who overthrew the existing government via coup d'etat. So it is history repeating itself in the 80s and the 90s, where young African men who were tired of the powers that exist, the, I guess, neocolonialism that was still ongoing between, you know, the colonial master versus the leaders who are just serving them, and the people being poor, and they got tired of it and they revolted and took over the countries. Looking back, if we look at maybe Thomas Sankara, maybe Ghana when J.J. Rawlings took over.
Yeah.
Who else can we really look at too as well when young military men take over African countries? Has it really also translated to prosperity, development? Has it really? It seems like once you take that seat, the longer you're there, the more corrupted you become.
Yeah.
So I also don't know how I feel about... I agree it's time for these countries to cut off ties with France. France is like... I mean, if we're doing colonizer jeopardy, they and Belgium gotta be 1 and 2, 1A, 1B, in terms of like just how terrible they are. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about hopefully in different ways, but... Also, I am for revolution in these African countries, but I also think having the military or men from the military just overthrow and rule the country with iron fist. It hasn't worked well in the past. What is it going to change? Does that translate into effective governance?
Yeah. I don't know. I get what you mean. I don't think we've had like solid examples that led to now like prosperity.
Exactly.
You could say like Rwanda in a sense, because we see where they are now and Paul Kagame has like done a lot for the country, right?
Yes, but the military mindset is still there. M23 going on in East Congo right now, the conflicts.
Right. So, I mean, of course, there's nuances that come with it, right? But for what he's done for his country,
100%.
You can measure that progress. Like, there's metrics there. But that's also from the outside looking in. I don't think Rwandese people get to speak on it freely as much as they would like, right?
That's a good point.
I think in Uganda, like, we've had young leaders come in and do well for like a stretch of time. And then, like you said, that clinging on to power flips something. Mm-hmm. And now like there's a bit of chaos, right? Where you saw it with Idi Amin, where times were good.
Yeah.
Then he held on for too long. He started abusing his power and then all the dominoes come falling down. Nigeria, I feel like
Nigeria has been one day history. I mean,
yeah.
We saw, go listen to Fela. You will hear about, you know, from the Obasanjos to the Yaraduas and how, where is the country now? And from especially the 70s all the way through, you know, basically 80s, where military men have ruled the country. And it actually developed a very complex system of corruption and incompetence.
Like Abacha, his family is still rich. Like
they're
still finding his money.
They can take all the money. They still won't be have enough to find or something like that. Yeah,
they're still finding his money. I do think sample size matters though, because like with like say Burkina Faso right now, right? It's looking up, but the like shining example that we had was cut short, and so there was no like proof of concept
to in what you're meaning Sankara was like, able to establish in that short period of time.
Right, there was like a small proof of concept but not anything large scale, and so
but you have to say though, I think at that time in the 80s people like Sankara, that socialist communist mindset did influence them heavily as well. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how they wanted to govern their countries, right?
Yeah.
But in 2024, I am taking over my sovereign country and I'm coming in to say enough is enough with the incompetence from the old man. Enough is enough from still being manipulated by France and the exploitation going on. And we're going to instill structure discipline in the country. That looks great from the beginning, right?
It's rudimental. Yeah, I get it.
What's the plan?
And this is where I was leading to is like a lot of young leaders come in without a manifesto of sorts.
Right.
It's more so this like, oh, we're tired and like now we're going to liberate the people. But then I don't know what I'm actually doing, which is not, I understand the need to be liked as a leader, but that's not necessarily your job. Like as the leader, you're supposed to lead, right? And a lot of times that means not being liked. But as long as you have, you know, like tangible results or something, a track record that is showing that your country is generally heading in the right direction, that's a good thing. A lot of young leaders come in with emotion and it's good. Like be passionate about what you do, but then what is your plan, right? Like what's your manifesto? What's the way you're going to guide your people to this promised land that we all speak of, right? It's like Lisan al Gaib, like you.
That's true. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But to ask both of you guys, do you guys think for in Africa right now, in terms of leadership, the best equipped are a young leader, meaning under 40? Yes or no?
Yes.
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Reasons?
Well, what we currently have right now, the old uncles, it's not working, right? So
it hasn't worked. It has never worked.
Exactly. So why keep something that clearly doesn't work? I feel like they're so disconnected with what's currently happened. And I feel like the younger people have like better visibility of like the state of the country and the way people feel and stuff like that. I feel like those older people, they're just so disconnected with the population.
Mm.
So
I think
disconnect.
Yeah. I think that representation, because if you look at our population, how many of us are under the age of 35?
Pretty much about 70% plus, right? Of our population is under 25.
So how I get the fatherly figure thing, but like you need somebody who can, relate to your everyday struggles.
Exactly.
You know, because my struggle today is not the same as your struggle 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. What do you think?
I think I agree with you guys. We need young leadership. But I also want it to be from a basis of competence, from a basis of actual plan and structure, not rooted in authoritarian dictatorship. We're going to instill fear and control.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you have to be very kind of Afrocentric as a leader. Mm-hmm. You have to, I like the sentiment they come in and say, enough, enough with colonial powers. Like, why are we still, you know, basically tooting horns with like France, for example? I agree with that mindset, but it's beyond that. Like, trying to develop a country requires building the team that is competent enough
mm-hmm.
to actually execute on the different aspects, such as, you know, if it's healthcare, infrastructure, education. So who are you going to have around you to instill that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a military man, really haven't had any exposure in governance, maybe diplomacy, foreign affairs, what it takes, you're going to need experts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within your country, hopefully, to help guide you. And one, without no knowledge, I feel like you're very vulnerable to either being manipulated, right? By the smart guys, the smart businessmen, so-called experts will come in and know maybe your knowledge gaps present an opportunity to manipulate you, right? That is one.
Yeah.
Or two, if you're stubborn and naive and want to rule with the iron fist, become a dictator, that's probably not going to be beneficial as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm for young leadership, but I'm not for military men taking over the country and staying there thinking they are equipped enough to lead the nation, because yeah. I genuinely think they're not.
I think they're good placeholders, but it stops there.
Yes.
Because if you study the style of governance that a lot of us Africans are trying to adopt, which might not even be for us
mm-hmm.
with democracy, like democracy comes from like, it's really, it's like, The leaders in democracy are supposed to be persuasive. They're supposed to be like relatable, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how you lead through democracy. You don't come in and start banging your fist and like trying to get people to adopt what you're saying. And so,
facts.
By having a placeholder to protect the institution, which I think like the Americans do really well, is like this checks and balances system, right? Is look, the institution is close to divine. So we're not going to interfere with this, which I think is why like January 6th was such a big deal, right? When these guys got into like the Capitol and they had their way there, it was like violating what the institution was and what everything that it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that as Africans, we also have to like understand what it is, what political like economy we're trying to push, what political system we're trying, or method of governance we're trying to push, and abide by it. Not just kind of freestyle around like, oh yeah, like I like him, so he should rule the country.
No,
like,
seriously.
That's how we do it, honestly.
You know, it's like we're kind of on vibes.
That's what it is. And I wish I had the TV up and I'll share this to you guys, but I remember going to the museum in Gambia and there was a newspaper, and we'll put it up for listeners. This was during when the coup d'etat happened in Gambia in 1994. It's from Monday, July 25th, 1994, Banjul, the Gambia Daily Observer. And the title says, "We will never introduce dictatorship in this country."
We'll never introduce it?
It's a quotation from the five men, army, military men, and the leader ended up being Yahya Jammeh, who took over, and similar, like same pattern, right? Ages 25, 29, Jammeh was 29 at the time.
That's crazy.
You have Edward Singate, 25. Hydra, 30. Yankuba Toure, 28. And Sabali, 29. Took over the country from a leader, an old man, grandpa, who was there for 30 years. It was a pattern. You see the pattern?
Yeah.
Took over, and my dad tells me at the time, people were happy, finally, change, enough is enough, the powers but be. And here are the young, patriotic, charismatic, brave leaders who want change for their country and prosperity. It gets to a point where it's even quoted on The Observer, we will never introduce a dictatorship in this country. Long story short, you know how it happens. Yeah. The 22-year-old long dictatorship. So I warn out of caution. I am, part of me is excited that finally some change in these countries going on in West Africa, where countries like Mali, you were mentioning here, Burkina Faso, where we're cutting ties with the manipulation that has been ongoing by France, since they're clearly dependent. That's the only thing they do. They're dependent on Africa for their wealth. And we're seeing finally a clear gateway towards cutting those ties. But who's doing it and how we're doing it, I think it's problematic still if we think militiamen, coup d'etats, wanting to transition from military to leading a country will yield success. Based on historical facts and just analyzing how equipped they are to actually have the tools needed to manage a country, I won't put my money on it. I just think, you said, it has to be a transition. You have to find the actual young leaders who are qualified enough and have the expertise needed to actually move the country forward. I think that's what we need.
The thing is, too, like, what they've done to me, or not to me, but to me, what they have done is shown that they have security, right? So, cool. Our nation is secure.
Yes.
Right? Now let's build on that, right? Let's go to the universities. Let's go to the local governments. Let's see who's already been doing this groundwork, and let's give them the opportunity to scale that, right? Like, okay, you've been a local chairman for this long. Maybe let's put you in charge of like the district, right? Like, let's put you in, let's start like growing our own talent is what I think is a good approach. But the idea of like having the military men be, you see, bureaucracy and democracy can't mix.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
I agree.
It's just two different schools of thought, two different principles. Like, there has to be a separation. We've clearly established their security. Let's build the other.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And when you guys were talking, like, I thought about something. When we think about the military style, it's really about chain and command, right? And that's really the style. And it doesn't really translate into like leading a country. It translates really well into defending a country, you know,
law and
or
order.
Invading another country, but not necessarily running a country. So I think that's probably where there's a bit of a discrepancy and we keep falling in the same like patterns. And then the other thing that I've noticed a lot on the continent is like, once you place something, someone who does really good, you place them somewhere, but then we, I feel like we never come in and like reevaluate that, you know, this person isn't doing so well. Let's demote them and put someone else. Right. I feel like once you get put in position,
that's it.
It's it. Secured.
You're eating good.
There's no checks and balances
at all. And that's the problem. So now this is where I think the collaboration piece comes in between other African nations, the diaspora, and then the people on the ground.
How?
We have to start exchanging ideas freely. We need to get rid of this idea of like this, not like nationalism is good to an extent, but we need to get rid of that and allow ourselves to grow. Because I'm sure if they can tap on their neighbors and be like, yo, guys, we need help with this. You know, how do we build a better education sector? How do we build a better, like, I don't know, whatever, land sector? Like, how do we keep going? You know what I mean?
I
think that we see it. We're three different nationalities at this table right here, but we're freely exchanging ideas and like actively helping each other build, right? So
that is decolonization. That is what we need.
Right.
We need to low-key then break down the borders.
Yeah.
Yeah, like some countries, for example, supply electricity to other countries. There are some various forms of that. But the anything in terms of exchange of trade, information, resources, labor, skills, especially from a regional standpoint, why are we in ECOWAS? Why is there 16, 17 African countries in ECOWAS still?
Yeah.
Borders. Like, I feel like it has to be borderless. And that's what I think you're also alluding to.
Yeah.
It's the fact that in 2024, we still have 54 African countries.
Yeah.
Like, does it even make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, like, but let's really...
States. We can make it states. Yeah. Well, that's what Gaddafi tried to do, remember? And we can go down that path, you know? It does not favor... It does not favor the exploitation of Africans by uniting, especially erasing those colonial borders. It really will not. So, we're talking about France here, their history, the...
Their presence, you know.
They're
like, how many is it? All of those. Most Francophone nations have their reserves in.
They created
France,
the currency, right? For that, where it's just such a control over these countries, and finally, we're at least seeing some breaking off.
Mm-hmm.
But Senegal has been one of their biggest pawns, right? Cote d'Ivoire. I don't know about Cameroon.
Yeah, we also have the same
big pawns, right, in Africa. That. Imagine how can you be an African nation and your central bank reserves are being kept in France.
It doesn't make sense.
That's crazy.
And if you even look at the what the French CFA stands for, it's actually crazy. It stands for Francs des Colonies Françaises, which is like the franc for like the Francophone like colonies.
Oh, wow.
It's like, at least change the name. Don't make it as obvious.
There's no shame. They're still throwing it in our face, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what it has to be. And just to note here, the recent news of the Senegal, everyone has been seeing the ongoing conflict with
the elections.
President Macky Sall, who ironically was the one who called for ECOWAS to say Jammeh needed to leave because he lost the election and then conceded and then doesn't want to leave, and was the spearhead in making sure that Gambia was able to transition out of the presidency of Yahya Jammeh due to the fact of he's been there and all of this. But for some reason, he thought too, now he wanted to extend the term and didn't want to leave. And the Senegalese people weren't having it.
And he came in.
He really tried it.
The way he came in too was a popular leader.
So it's the cycle. The seat rots.
Yeah.
But now we have Senegal's president-elect. His name is Bassirou Faye. He was the secretary general of the opposition party, PASTEF, the leader actually of this party, which similar, same move as dictator Ousmane Sonko. He was sent to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder by who. And he joined the presidential race and he was endorsed by Sonko. Faye was also detained and was once barred from actually contesting in the election. He's a lawyer, former tax collector, and a master's degree holder, and at the age of 43 years old, I think 44 years old, he's now Senegal's president-elect. So what are your thoughts on Senegal transitioning into this new era of having a young leader, and given also the resistance that happened with the old man who tried to stay a little bit longer?
Old man who tried to stay longer, not surprised. You know, I think if you watched his decline from when he got elected.
Yeah,
it was popularity. It was almost textbook.
Textbook, yeah.
Very textbook. The young leader coming in, I have faith in it because he is a politician, right? And so I don't know much about the opposition party and kind of what they stand for and whatnot, but hey, if they can get the country organized, which Senegal is, they're not bad.
I just think they need to even cut further their strong ties with France.
With France, yeah.
I think
start shipping back players too from Le Bleu.
Koulibaly
already came back. Yeah, man.
Wearing blue, playing in Euros. Like, come on, are you serious?
Yeah, no, we need to.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with y'all. Like,
what? Really?
they're French, you know. Let them.
They're French.
Well, they're French, you know.
Can you be black and French?
Of course.
What? Even when you're not a good citizen.
If you're not playing professional football,
what is good citizen?
If you're not playing good football, like,
yeah, or climbing buildings to save kids.
Wow, we're gonna talk about that too.
Hey, Monday they said he was African when he was climbing up, he was French when he came down. So wow. That question to me, can you be black and French?
I think so. Like why not?
Like, yeah.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like we also need to think about the history of how they even got there, right? Mm. And take that into account when we like talk about this, right? Because some of those people have never set foot on the continent.
Yeah, right? but their roots are strong, though.
Their roots are strong, mm-hmm. but it's difficult to associate with a place you've never been to, right? Let's think about even Black Americans, right?
Mm.
It is a different...
That's different.
It is a different, like, there. It's like two opposite sides.
They were there for... Black Americans were here for 500 years.
That's true.
Involuntarily.
That's true. But I feel like even when they first got to the U.S., you know, let's think about the first 2-3 generations. I don't think they could necessarily connect to the continent.
Mm.
Let's think about that too, right?
I don't think there's any such thing as a black European.
Hot take.
That's why I just don't think so. I don't think there's a black European. Yeah, African or of African origin. Maybe your parents are from Africa. Maybe you grew up in France. You grew up in that environment, in that culture. But are you French? Are you European?
Well, on paper, you are. I don't think
so. On paper, you are.
Yeah, on paper, you are.
That's the whole point. And I think that is just another mere form of neocolonialism.
Too, culturally are.
On paper, but...
But like, you've been to Paris, yeah?
Yeah.
Where's that neighborhood? The 12th...
Which one?
It's like that neighborhood in Paris where it's like all Africans.
There's probably a bunch.
I was like,
there's a specific... Like, that
like
thing
Chateau
that,
Rouge, like where there's like a...
Where's Pogs from? Is he from like the 12th arrondissement, whatever, how do you say it?
Oh, the deuxième arrondissement?
Yeah.
It's like wherever there's a place where it's called Chateau Rouge, and that's where it's like the African market, literally.
Right.
And then you go there, it's as if you're in Africa. It's as if you never left the continent, basically.
So now, are you really French?
Are you really French then? Eva doesn't agree. I just want to hear your argument. Why do you think...
I don't agree from the simple basis that like a lot of folks that have been there for a long time, you know? Like Africans in France or African in Europe, it's not a new concept, you know? People have been there for generations. Even if you look at like history, there was a mayor of like Paris that was like black. I went to a museum and I like read about it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. No one really talks about like, you know, black people or African people in like France, you know? I feel like a lot of the history gets erased, but there are people that have been there for like more than 3 generations, right? So who are we to tell them that they're not what they identify as or what they know?
I mean, you make a
so
point.
That's kind of like where I'm
It's just
from.
My opinion. I just thought, I agree with you. You do make a point and... They have contributed to societies probably way more than they should even be given credit for. Right. And ideally, they are part of French history. But again, my whole point is the country they're in, how did they get there, how their parents have been treated.
Right.
I think what he's trying to say is like, although they are French, they'll never be treated with the same respects as like a white Frenchman.
That's fair. That's very unfortunate that is the case for most people.
Yeah.
So send the footballers back. Send them back. We don't, let them.
But, alors, mes amis, c'est là.
Yes.
C'est la fin. No, we're running out of time, yes. But I think we touched on some important things today. Thank you for being here, Eva.
I'm here for it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Let us know what you guys think in the comments.
They let us know. We don't have to ask them.
No, but for real, season 6 has been pretty pivotal and continues to grow the pod.
We appreciate all the thoughts, the dialogues. I think we're not even contributing to the comments. We're just letting you guys have the
dialogue. It is overwhelming, though. Like, sometimes, every time I log on, it's like, 100 new followers. I'm like, this is a bit overwhelming. Yeah. But I love it because I'm like, obviously we're not one of those podcasts. No,
we're not one of those, hopefully. You know.
That's too funny. But yeah. Maybe we should ask the people what they think about, you know, Africans being European, you know, since it was a controversial topic.
We'll do
a
question. Yeah. What is the question? Ask it.
So do people think that Africans can be European, you know? So black French people, like, I don't know, black British people. What do you guys think?
Okay.
Let us know, guys. I say yes and no.
Yeah. Until next time, thank you guys for tuning in. Stay dangerous. Stay blessed. We'll talk to you soon. I'll probably won't see you till after the holidays. So Eid Mubarak to all those who Correct. Celebrate. Yes. Happy Easter to all those who celebrate. And yeah.
Stay woke, though. Stay woke. Y'all heard the last conversation. So stay woke.
All right. Peace.
All right.